Morning, everyone. Can you hear me all right? Is this coming through? Yeah? Good. We have no sound guy today, so I want to make sure we get that straight to start. Good to be here with you this morning. Welcome to our guests and our visitors. Especially happy to have you here. Before we get started, a couple things I want to make you aware of. One is that yesterday, Kristen had a crew of people out here, and they took all of our pretty pastel purple tables, and they repainted them and gave them a nice rich coat of dark brown, and now they look all nice and clean and sharp, so the next time we roll them out here, it's just going to look so kind of just a little cleaner and neater and nicer. So thanks to Kristen and her crew. I was going to name them, but every one of them would be really embarrassed and upset with me if I named them. So if you want to know, ask Kristen, I'll tell you who came and helped out doing that yesterday. Kristen is here all summer as our intern again, but as we've said before, her portfolio has expanded from just children's ministry that she's done the last couple summers. This year she's trying to spend time with some of our teens and keep them connected with each other, and our young adults do some of the same stuff. And then in addition to that, she's also trying to organize some events for us as a church family to kind of build a greater sense of community within the larger group of our church. And so one of those things, which she just mentioned earlier, is the church picnic that's coming up next week. Cold potluck at the forestry farm. Just bring some cold food. Come, the kids can play. We can play games out in the lawn area there. And so I would encourage you, if you are around next Sunday, make a point and plan to attend that and come out and just enjoy some time next Sunday afternoon with the rest of our church family together. All right, we just are getting into our summer series called Producing Produce, and we're taking a look at the 9 character traits, commonly known as the fruits of the Spirit, which Paul lists for us in Galatians 5, 22, and 23. Now, according to Paul, these are not just good qualities that we should aspire to develop in our lives. These things are, as a collective group, evidence that the Spirit is being allowed to work in our hearts. These are the telltale signs that God's hand is working in our lives, and it's transforming us from people we tend to be by our very own nature into the people who more accurately reflect the nature of the one who created us. So we started out in week 1 looking at love, and then last week we looked at faithfulness, and today we are going to talk a little bit about patience. Now, as you can see, we've added a new poster up here on the wall this week, and as I was putting that up on Wednesday, I thought it would be apropos to provide you with some fruit for your enjoyment this morning. So as you walked in, you likely saw a basket full of delicious-looking Granny Smiths there at the back. And when you first saw that basket and the sign on the front of it, you may have thought that this was some kind of illustration about Adam and Eve, and it's not that, I promise you. The apples are good, and they're tasty, they're 100% free, there's no hidden catch, and I really do want you to take one, and I want you to enjoy it. However, if you attempted to grab one this morning, Brad or Crystal was standing there, and they would have pointed out to you the fine print on the sign, which explains that these tasty little apples are not available until the end of our worship service. Now, I set it up that way not simply to be cruel and mean, but I wanted you to experience, at least in a very small way, the irritation of having to wait. And in fact, there are some of you, if you're like me, who might not have even been particularly interested in having an apple when you first walked in, but when you found out you weren't allowed to have one until the end of the service, you really wanted to go back and grab one because you just resented the idea of having to wait. Because as a general rule, we are not a patient people. We don't like to wait. We want what we want, and we want it right now. Back in the 70s and the 80s, the Heinz company used to extol the virtue of patience when it came to enjoying their product. Take a look and you'll see.
Usual. Mind passing the Heinz?
Sure.
Function.
got something this rich, this thick, why waste time with anything else? Heinz Ketchup. The best things come to those who wait.
In the 80s, the best things come to those who wait. Of course, today, the best things come faster to those who buys the squeezable bottle, and it comes out right away, right? Commercials kind of sell us on that stuff. Speaking of commercials, how many of you have gotten annoyed having to wait through the two-minute commercial break, right? Well, you have to sit there and wait for your show to come back on. I know some of you do this. You get in that spot and you're tired of it, so you hit record on your PVR and you come back and you watch it later so you can skip through the commercials, or you just turn it off and skip to Netflix where you don't have to worry about commercials in the first place. Because after all, who's got time to wait through commercial breaks? Or perhaps you've been driving on a road where the marked speed limit is much slower than you think it should be. Or perhaps it's just the fact that the person in front of you thinks the speed limit is much slower than it actually is. And even if you don't have an urgent deadline to get where you are going, you still get frustrated at having to wait a little longer to get there. And driving slow is not the only opportunity we have to be impatient in our car. When was the last time that you got irritated waiting in the line at the fast food drive-through restaurant because the staff was unable to cook your entire meal in the time it took you to drive from the menu board to the cashier window? Who's got time to wait for all that? And it's not just food that we're in a hurry for. Virtually anything is available to us over the internet on sites like Amazon. Most Amazon products come with two-week shipping or less. And for a modest annual fee, you can sign up for Amazon Prime. And Amazon Prime says we can deliver your items in 2 days. But now, some people, that's just not good enough. And so now, in 32 U.S. cities, you can join Amazon Now and get your things delivered to your door in 2 hours. But in some places, that's not good enough. So in some select cities, you can do it in 1 hour and get your things from Amazon delivered to your door. Because who wants to wait for their packages to arrive? But perhaps the epitome of this phenomenon is Pop-Tarts. Now, these are the sugar-coated pastries that you throw into your toaster, and 90 seconds later they pop up and they're all warm and gooey. Now, that's about as fast as a hot snack can get, right? Apparently not. For those who cannot stand to wait the full minute and a half for their Pop-Tarts to cook in the toaster, don't worry, the box has a helpful alternative. And I'm not making this up. You look at the box and it says, microwave it for 3 seconds, and then your Pop-Tart will be ready. Man, we really do not like to wait. Paul writes to the church, and he says, but the fruit the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Elon Musk has said that patience is a virtue, and I'm learning patience. It is a tough lesson. And I think many of us would agree with that sentiment. Patience is a tough lesson. And part of the reason that patience is such a difficult thing to exhibit in our life is because it is only required when things are not going well. Patience only ever exists when things are in some way bad, when conditions are significantly less than ideal. You have never heard someone say, man, I just got a huge raise at work. Guess I'll have to be patient until they reevaluate my salary again. You've never heard someone say, time's going by so fast and the big day is going to be here before I know it, which just makes it so tough to be patient. You've never heard someone say, our relationship's just going so very well right now. Things couldn't possibly be better, which is really testing my patience. And you have never heard someone say, man, the weather is just so gorgeous right now. I'm trying to be patient until the miserably cold temperatures come back again. You see, although you can be a patient person all the time, your patience is only really seen when things are not the way you want them to be. When it all boils down, patience is my ability to not get upset by the current conditions. I almost made a last-minute decision and changed our poster from an apple to some grapes because it occurred to me that really patience is kind of the opposite of fermentation. Patience is kind of, it's that ability to remain in an environment but not sour or wine. And that's really what patience is about. Patience is most clearly displayed by my decision to willingly wait. And I don't have to like the situation, and I don't have to enjoy it, and I don't have to be happy about it, but patience allows me to willingly wait for the moment to pass without becoming angry or bitter. Now, depending on your version of the Bible, this particular aspect of the fruit of the Spirit might be defined as patience, or it might be something like long-suffering, or forbearance, or perseverance. But I like all those words, but those words kind of give me the idea. When I hear long-suffering and forbearance and perseverance, the image I get is someone kind of gritting their teeth and holding on and saying, oh, I'm going to get through this one way or another. But I don't think that's the picture that Paul is trying to paint for us here. I like the word patient endurance, or pleasant endurance, right? It's the idea that I'm going to hang on and I'm going to get through this, but I'm going to be pleasant about it while I do. The Greek word that Paul uses here is actually a compound word, macrothumia. And the first part of the word is macro, which you're probably familiar with that word. And it just means long. So the first part is long. The second part of the word is from the word thumos, which means angry. So the word literally means you take a long time to get angry. It's patience that James is describing when he writes this, and he says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For human anger does not bring about the righteousness God desires. And how are we doing on that one? When we get cut off in traffic, when our boss is a jerk, when we're discussing politics, when we are frustrated with our kids or our spouse, when we are at the restaurant or we're at the store or we're standing in line, when we're playing sports or when we're watching sports, when we're talking church stuff with church people. Paul says taking a long time to get angry, the ability to willingly wait your way through a situation, is a defining characteristic of those who have God's Spirit shaping their hearts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul writes, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And Paul spends a whole chapter trying to quantify what love is like. And the first thing on his list, his first descriptor of love, is to say, love is patient. And then he goes on to note it's also not rude, self-seeking, or easily angered. St. Augustine said, patience is the companion of wisdom, which is very similar to what the writer says in Proverbs 14. He says, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays his folly. And much like the Chinese proverb I came across this week, which says, one moment of patience may ward off a great disaster. One moment of impatience may ruin a whole life. Proverbs goes on to say this. It says, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. And we all know this to be true. We've seen it happen in the lives of those around us. We've probably experienced it even in our own lives. Times when just a little bit of patience had saved us from a huge headache, and other times when the lack of patience has caused a world full of problems. And although we often write off patience, or maybe our lack thereof, off as a small and insignificant thing, the truth is our ability to be patient has such a monumentally huge impact on our lives because it just comes up in so many places. That's why patience makes the list. That's why patience is so important, because it's so much more than just waiting 90 minutes to get an apple. Author Arnold H. Glassow says, the key to everything is patience. Get the chicken by hatching the egg, not by smashing it. Just consider the vast array of situations in which patience might factor in. Any situation where things are not going well, at work, at home, at school, at church, calls for a display of my patience. Any time when things are not turning out the way I would like them to, on the road, in the store, at the shop, at the game, requires me to take a long time to be angered by that situation. Any incident that is not pleasant, not desirable, not preferable, not enjoyable, or not what I want, patience prompts me to be willing to wait in that situation for things to change or improve. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm totally passive about it. I don't have to become a complete doormat and allow people to walk all over me. But the Bible's understanding of patience is something that is always and something that always responds without bitterness, anger, malice, or hate. Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, and he says, "Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak, and be patient with the people you like." No, it doesn't say that. It says, "Be patient with the people who don't irritate you. Be patient with the people who aren't in the wrong. Be patient with the people who treat you well. Be patient with the people you don't disagree with. Be patient with the people who are apt to see the error of their ways and apologize for it later." No, Paul doesn't write any of those things. Read with me what he says. He says, "Be patient with everyone." Now, for those of you who have patiently stuck with me thus far, but are thinking to yourself, "This all sounds well and good, Mike. I know I should be more patient, but when push comes to shove and in the heat of the moment, I'm just not very good at doing it." Well, if that's what you're thinking, I have some good news for you. Now, I'm likely going to say this several times over the next few weeks, but it's critical to our understanding of this text. The characteristics that Paul lists in Galatians 5, 22, and 23 are not the fruits of hard work. They are not the fruit of great discipline, and they are not the fruit of self-help. Yes, they require some of all those things on our part, but that is not what makes the fruit grow, because these are the fruit of the Spirit. These are the fruit of God in our life. And the only way to get more fruit out of your life is to get more God in your life. You see, I am simply not strong enough, smart enough, or determined enough to force myself to be more loving or joyous or peaceful or patient. It is inherently impossible. Just think about this for a moment. If I were to try and accomplish developing these character traits in my own life by a sheer act of willpower, that would be an incredible display of self-discipline on my part. However, the ninth characteristic on Paul's list is self-control, which is essentially the same thing. So think about that for a moment. If I lack self-control, what hope do I have of developing self-control based solely on my currently non-existent powers of self-control? Yeah, it does take effort and willingness on my part to make this happen. But more than that, it's going to take God's Spirit remolding me from the inside out. Without a doubt, God does not want you losing your temper and lashing out in anger. But he's equally uninterested in you just getting better at masking your anger and holding it all in and continuing to seethe under the surface. What God really wants is to reshape your heart and rewire your brain so that you aren't filled with anger in the first place. And his spirit working in your life is the key to making that happen. You see, the reason that all of these things, that God's Spirit produces these particular character traits in your life, is because these traits are at the very core of God's own character. God is, by his very nature, incredibly patient. Peter writes this, he says, "But don't forget this one thing, dear friends. with the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Peter says, you may think God is being really slow to act, but he's really just being exceptionally patient with people. And the Bible is just chock full of stories of God waiting and waiting and waiting, giving out second chances and clean slates every time, time and time again, inviting people to turn back to him, to trust him, to follow him, and escape their self-destructive habits and vices. Long after we would have given up on people, long after we would have written them off, long after we would have given them exactly what they really deserve, God still patiently waits. Which is why when the Spirit of God starts working in you, you can't help but become more patient. So where does that leave us this morning? I just have a couple things I want you to ponder this week. First of all, remember that you are the fruit basket. You are the basket, and the basket holds the fruit. The basket does not make the fruit. It simply holds the fruit. You will never excel at any, let alone all, of these characteristics on your own. So don't be so proud as to think that you can do this all by yourself. And don't beat yourself up when you finally realize that you can't do this all by yourself, because you were never meant to do this all by yourself. You are just the basket, and it's God's Spirit that bears fruit in you. Secondly, allow God to fill your basket with his fruit. Now, that might mean dumping out some of the rotten fruit that you've already filled your life with, all the stuff that Paul lists in Galatians 5, 19 to 21, and anything else that is contrary to the characteristic God wants you to develop. And sometimes that simply means opening yourself up to receiving the good fruit that God is offering, being willing to accept what he wants to give you, being willing to become what he wants to make you. How exactly do we do that? I'm no expert, but I think we start here. Ask for it. The next time you feel your temperature rising, your fuse burning, your handle getting ready to fly off, simply stop and say, Lord, give me patience. Say it out loud if you can. Feel silly about it if you have to, but say it. I'll confess this morning, my wife came early with one of our sons. I stayed home with another of our sons, and he was not inclined to get out of bed. And time was passing, and I needed to come because I needed to get here, and I needed to set things up, and I had woken him up several times, and I had taken the covers away several times, and I had physically stood him up several times, and yet he still would not get going. And I was getting very frustrated. And so I literally was standing there. I can't remember if my hands were on hips. I think they were folded because this is my default position. And I'm sitting there, and I'm telling him, you got to get ready. You got to go. I'm running late. I need you to hurry. And all the while, I'm holding my sermon notes on patience in my hand. And so I tell you, I literally stopped and I took a moment and I said, Lord, give me patience. And even that small, simple act took me out of that moment, and I remembered, yeah, this is what I need to do. This is where I need to be. I need to acknowledge to myself and to God that I don't have what it takes to make patience happen in this moment. I need to invite his Spirit to work in my heart in that moment. And then you do that, and when it goes well, and you experience a patience at a level that you know you could never have mustered on your own, be sure to stop and take time to thank him for it. And when it doesn't go so well, and your old habits and your flawed nature take over and you lose it, repent of it, both to God and to the person you lost it on, if possible. Accept God's grace for it. Ask in advance to be more open to his leading next time around. And I know that that all sounds just really simplistic and easy, but that's kind of the point. God does all the hard work here. Our job is to simply be a willing participant and not work against him. So, thank you for your time. and your patience this morning. I want to remind you that our prayer room is available to you following service. Out the door and take a couple lefts. Heather and Lynn should be there to pray with you if you like, or if you just want a place to sit quietly on your own. And I invite you, please, as you leave, grab an apple, take it, enjoy it, and have it be a reminder to you of all the good fruit that God is eager to add to your life.
Mike, we're going to close with a